On the cover of your bulletin, that four-panel cartoon says a lot. And this morning, Lucy is all of us. You see, each of us has known moments in our lives when something is coming, when something that we can neither forestall or control is arriving on our doorstep and we don't know what to do. Lucy this morning is worried because you can see through the raindrops that the weather is not cooperating and the rain is falling fast. And Lucy wonders if her God will become again the God of Genesis 7 and Genesis 8, who rained and flooded the known world. She looks out the window and she says to her younger brother Linus, I wonder if sometimes when that anxiety or that angst rises up in us, sometimes when we wonder if we're able to reach down inside ourselves and come up with wisdom that's been planted there by others, come up with wisdom that's been deposited by life's experience. Sometimes when the angst or the anxiety rises up, we're able to reach in and come up with what we need. That's what we see Paul doing in his letter to Rome. You see, Paul is a Pharisee. You must always remember that Paul comes from the ruling class, the class that was the studiers of the law, the class that was the arbiters of the law. A Pharisee spent his entire life understanding the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and Paul would have been steeped in it so well he would have known the dot and tittle and the angst, the anxiety that was rising up in Paul as we meet him in the seventh chapter of Rome is that he knows the law, but no matter how he tries to engage with the law, no matter how he tries to live according to the law, you hear him talk about this war rising up inside of himself. When I would do good, evil is ever present. When I try to do what's right, something in my nature sends me directly to do what's wrong. I know the law, Paul says, but I have no power to live by the law. I know the law, but I am unable to keep it. In the midst of this anxiety, in the midst of this angst, Paul reaches down deep inside of himself and he remembers something that he heard. Oh, wretched man that am I, who will deliver me? And out of his mouth comes, thanks be to God. For God, you weren't playing around when you sent the Son. God, you knew that I could not keep the law and that the law was not going to be able to be broken by human hands. God, you knew it was going to take something stronger than me, and you sent the Son. And through Jesus came grace, and through Jesus came forgiveness. It's as if you sent him to be a covering around us so that even when we do sin and condemnation falls, it doesn't fall on us because we are covered. That's why in the eighth chapter, at least in the King James Version, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in or under Christ Jesus. Paul struggling with the law, Paul fighting with the law, gives in not to breaking the law, but gives in to the power that is the Spirit. Through Jesus comes a Spirit that says, I will be with you always in Matthew. Through Jesus comes a Spirit that says, I'll defeat your enemies in 1 Corinthians. Through him comes a power that says, when the water comes after you, I won't let it drown you in Isaiah. Through Jesus comes the promise that you will not be defeated, that I will lift you up. Oh, Paul is a fabulous example that when anxiety comes, we can reach inside and pull out that wisdom that's been deposited, pull out the sound theology that is a God who loves us and is ever near, ready to forgive, ready to protect, ready to redeem and lift up. But back to Lucy, because While Paul could reach in and pull out what he needed to respond to, oh, wretched man as I, while Paul could reach in and pull out, thanks be to God who sent the Son to deliver me, Lucy looks up and has no answer for the rain that is coming down. Lucy looks up and she settles for the what if question. Her angst and her anxiety are not diminished one iota until panel two. Notice what Linus does. Lucy, in the midst of her spinning and her worrying, doesn't even speak to her younger brother. She asks that question just on the wind. And in the midst of the question out before them both, Linus does what I think is so instructive. Linus first knows the story of God. He responds with what happens in Genesis 9, where God promises to never flood the world again. Linus knows the story. He's got a handle on some sound theology. And not only does he know the story in its historic context from Genesis 9, he has interpreted it in his own being so that it's available to use in modern day. While he quotes the text from Genesis 9, he does it in such a way that he tries to bring his sisters some relief from her anxiety. Linus knows the story. He's able to interpret it for today. And then he speaks the words to his sister. And this is Lucy. She is not an easy sister. He speaks the word to his sister in a way that does not degrade her for not knowing the story, that does not judge her for not knowing the story, that does not upbraid her or use language that is harsh or set himself above her for not knowing the story. Instead, in words soft and attractive, Linus simply tells the story. And Lucy looks at him and says, "That's taken a load off my mind." Sometimes, like Paul, we can reach down into ourselves and pull up what we need, the sound theology we need to stand in the midst of a storm, in the midst of difficulty. But sometimes we have to look outside ourselves, because what is whirling around us, the anxiety and the anxiousness, we are not capable of taking our own load off. And we have to find someone who is able to do what Linus does for Lucy. And so I ask you today, who are the people in your life who have a handle like Linus on the theology? Who are the people that you can turn to who know God's word and have interpreted it for today, and speak not high and lofty, but speak with gentle and attractive words? Each of us is going to live in a moment when the sky opens and the rain falls like it is on Lucy. Each of us is going to have moments when we look around and there's no innate ability to take the load off. Each of us is going to have that day when the angst, when the challenge, when the storm rages. And I'm so grateful to God that we are created to be in community so that together we can turn to one another. But we have to know who to turn to. What if Lucy had asked that question in the midst of someone who, unlike her baby brother, had no notion of what sound theology sounds like? So who are the people? Who are the two or the three people to whom you would turn when a load is so great that you cannot take it off? When a load is so great that your own internal study and your own internal answers do not respond well to the circumstances? Write their names down. And the next time you see them, tell them, "You are my Linus. You are the one that I know has learn God's stories." You may not know them all, but you know some. You may not know them all deeply, but you know them in a way that you've interpreted them. And you speak to me in ways that I might hear and learn. Who are those people that we might honor them, that we might know, so that in the moment we need to turn to them, they are there? But there's one more thing. Not only do we need to know those people in our lives so that when the rain begins to fall, we have some place to turn when our own internal processes do not give us a way to let a load off. Not only do we need to know those people, but beloved, we need to become those people. You and I, as we grow in our faith, you and I, as we grow by grace, we need to become more and more and more like Linus. We need to know what sound theology sounds like and looks like in our own mouths and in our own beings. We need to be the ones to which our friends and family are able to turn. And no, I'm not suggesting you know the entirety of the Bible, but I am suggesting you have identified those places that you believe are sound theology. Sound theology, like the God of love spreads wide his arms and says, whosoever will, let them come. Sound theology that sounds like slow to anger and abounding in love. Sound theology that sounds like I will not always be angry, but I will always receive you back. Sound theology that says whenever we are trapped in a place, our God will provide a way of escape. What do you think sound theology sounds like? We need it in our mouths. We need it in our hearts, because to be vessels of God's word in the world like Linus is to be ready when the question is asked. It's to be ready when someone in our lives is struggling and we might have a word from God for them. So here is the challenge that I promised you 40 minutes ago. For those of you who do not email, you will get a card in the mail. From those of you who email, you will get an email. And it's going to ask you to share a moment of sound theology. It's going to ask you to email us back and tell us what you believe sound theology is. And I've got some prompts for that sound theology. It's all the gifts that are on the table in the fellowship hall. It's all the prompts to see if it awakens in you some understanding of what you might have in your mouth and ready to speak. Lucy was in trouble. Lucy wondered if the world would float away. And in the midst of her worry, her brother spoke peace. He spoke peace through the gift of theology that was good, of theology that was sound. Every Sunday when we come, that's my hope, that there's some seed planted, that there's something given in all of the worship that might fill us with the kind of sound thinking that not only is blessing to us, but is available to be blessing to those who, like Lucy, are in need. Beloved, God is pouring out. God is preparing us to have in our being what the world needs. The challenge is not only for us to discern our sense of sound theology based on God's word. The challenge is, will we fill our mouths and speak it in the world? What would Lucy have done if Linus had simply walked away and the rain continued? What will that one do who needs to hear the word that you have within you, given by God, if we don't speak? Because sound theology takes a load off. And you and I, in this way, are burden bearers, therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. Go. Get ready to go. And to find those words from God to you that will be a blessing to the world. And if you get tired, just prepare to lean on the everlasting arms. I chose the final hymn because growing up, that was my mother's answer. When the world was reeling and rocking, when the world seemed unstable, her piece of theology was not to try and do it on your own, but to lean on the presence and everlasting arms of God. That was deposited in me as a child. That's sound theology. What is it, beloved, that you will have to deposit into the world? I can't wait this week to hear and to learn.